reading in verse number 1, and we'll be going through verse number 7 tonight. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 1 tonight, glorifying God together. Is that loud? I was like, well, maybe it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a little loud, I thought. All right, Romans chapter number 15, verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Glorifying God together. The Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for this amazing opportunity to come to your house tonight. Father God, I'm just so thankful to be here tonight. Thankful to be with a group of believers tonight and fellowshipping. Lord God, tonight I do know tonight when we glorify you together, Lord God, it's just something about where the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, you'll be in the midst. Father God, tonight there's no doubt that if a lost man walked in and two or three saints got on the same page tonight and we got wanting to see you show up, Father, that lost man would be in the presence of you tonight. Father, you'd be saturating this place tonight. And Lord God, tonight I thank you that your word says where two or three are gathered together. And Lord God, I thank you for that tonight. And I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. And Lord God, I pray tonight you'd be with each and every man, woman, boy, or girl that's in this place tonight. I pray you be with the teachers as they're teaching the young kids. Lord God, I pray you be with the Awanas that we're going to have coming up, Father. Lord, I pray you'd saturate that, Father, in your presence. Lord, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for a group of believers that's gathered together to worship your name. Lord, I pray tonight that when we look at these texts tonight that's in this message, I pray that we apply it to our life. Lord God, I pray we live up to what you've called us to do. Lord, I know that there's a lot of teaching and a lot going on that, Father God, that we don't have to do nothing, Father. And that is so true to be saved, Father. I'm praying and talking to you tonight. That's so true. It's a gift of God. But Father, after we receive that gift, we ought to want to use it. And Lord God, tonight I pray that I be found using the gift that you've given me, Lord God, in a way that would be pleasing and glorifying to your name. Father, I'm so thankful to be saved tonight. Lord, I pray I never get over it because I always want to stay under it. And Father, I love you and I thank you. I praise you tonight because you are the King, you are the Lord, and you are Savior tonight. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, glorifying God together. That's what I want to look at tonight as we're coming to the close of the book of Romans. You know, we've been in that for some time now. We've been in the book of Romans, and I had counted it up, and I preached some 93 sermons in the book of Romans out through through a period of time. 93 sermons come out of the first 13 chapters. 93 different sermons come out of that. But as we're getting closer to the end, Paul now he's saying we must glorify God together. And what that unity does when we come together and we glorify God. As we look in the text tonight, it says each and every believer, as we read this tonight, we understand that each and every believer has been called to glorify God together. You know, you've not been saved to go out on your own. You've not been saved to sit alone. You've not been saved to do anything alone, but we come together. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. He said when he called the 12, he sent them out two by two. You see, he never sent them alone. He always had them together. Tonight, as we read this tonight, we understand what a blessing when the brethren glorify God together in unity. You know, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? It said they all had all things in common, and they was in unity. They was in one accord. Hey, when people get in one accord, people get saved. Hey, when a church gets in one accord, people get saved. When people get in one accord, the prayer starts going to heaven. It starts breaking through when you're in one accord. There's no discord. There's no division in the church. There's none of that. There's unity in the church. And I thank God for that tonight. And you can tell that there's unity in this place. God will truly be glorified when we don't care. Look here tonight. God will truly be glorified when we don't care who gets the credit. Amen? Hey, when we don't care who gets the credit, all we do is glorifying God no matter what goes on in this place. Nobody gets the credit, but we give it all to God. I want you to know right then, that's when the glory starts going to heaven and not to man. So tonight I want to look at, why do we glorify God together tonight? Why do we glorify God together? Have you ever thought about that tonight? Why do we meet and we glorify God together tonight? Well, tonight in verse number one of the text, number one tonight, if you're keeping notes, it says, because we have an obligation to serve the brethren. We do that because we have an obligation to serve the brethren. Look what he says. We then that are strong. Get this tonight. We then that are strong. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you consider yourself strong as a Christian? Amen. Do you consider yourself strong as a Christian? Look here, I want to give you this tonight. I may look at Brother Hagin and say, boy, Brother Hagin is strong as a Christian. But brother, I don't know, brother. All I see is what's coming out. Brother Hagin may say, I'm not as strong as you think I am. Brother Hagin may look at Brother BJ and say, he's strong as a Christian. But I may need your help. And Brother Brent is strong. And Brother Kevin, I look around this room, and all these men and women that are strong. But you know what strengthens one another? Is when we help one another. It's when we uplift one another. The Bible says, we then that are strong, I'm talking about the one that's got that prayer life, the one that's got that straight to heaven. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Tonight, number one, the obligation to serve the brethren. And there's a key word that is found there. And that word, if you look in verse number one, he says, we then that are strong ought. That ought to be an old Detroit word. Can I get an amen? Hey, I ought to do this and I ought to do that. I ought to go over there and I ought to have done this. But look what he says tonight. We then that are strong ought. And that word ought is this, is something that gives a strong obligation or it's our duty to serve in that matter. So tonight I understand that I ought to do some things in my life. And I want to show you three areas tonight under this first point. How tonight that your obligation and my obligation tonight and what we ought to do. Tonight you say, what's my obligation? How am I going to serve my brother? How am I going to help that brother? Tonight I want to show you three areas in the Word of God what we ought to do. Amen? If you'll turn with me tonight in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse number 6 tonight, and we're talking in the first epistle of John, in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse number 6, you say, what should I ought to do, preacher? What am I ought to do? What should I do? Tonight, if you want to be an encourager to a brother, and you want to be a strength, and you want to hold up your end, here's what we ought to do tonight. He says tonight in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse number 6, the Bible says, we must be living for Christ. Tonight, if you want to be strong for your brethren, you must be living for Christ Jesus. Amen. Tonight, if I see a strong Christian, they ought to be living for Jesus Christ. Look what he says tonight in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him, ought. There's that word again, that obligation. Here's the word ought. Ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Tonight, what are you talking about, preacher? We must be living for Christ Jesus. What shows that we're living for Christ Jesus? How do we serve another man? We serve him by living for Christ Jesus or walking with Christ Jesus. Our walk lines up with our talk tonight. As we walk that walk tonight of Christian life, I want you to know tonight it's your obligation and it's my obligation as a born-again believer to walk like a Christian. Amen? To walk as a child of God tonight. I must not walk like a lost man. I am not a lost man. I'm a saved man. And if I'm a saved man, I walk after my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said that's my obligation tonight, to walk after Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, you know how hard it is to walk after Jesus? Hey, I want to say this tonight. I'm not Jesus and you ain't neither, but if he lives inside of me, I ought to be able to follow him. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. If he lives inside of me, I ought to be able to follow him. You know who can't follow Jesus? It's that lost man, because the Spirit doesn't live on the inside. I've seen people, and you have too, that says, I can't live it. I can't walk it. I can't do it. You know why? Because he ain't inside of you. When he comes inside of you, that walk gets easier. That walk gets easier when you get closer to Jesus Christ. How are you going to follow somebody when you can't see him? You walk by faith, not by sight. How do you know? Because he lives inside of you. So number one tonight, I see my obligation to serve you tonight. I have an obligation to serve you, not only as your pastor, but as your brother tonight. There would not be one accusation in this community that we live in should come against me. As your pastor, I must live a life that's upstanding in the community that we live in. But guess what? Tonight, you must too. Not only the man behind the pulpit, but the man in the pew. We have an obligation to keep ourselves spotless and blemished from the world that we live in. And the only way to do that is that we walk according to the Word of God. But number one tonight, our obligation to serve the brethren is by living for Christ. Number two, if you'll stay in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 16 tonight, I want to show you this. You say, preacher, I'm walking that walk. What do I need to do next? You must be willing to lay your life down for the gospel's sake. Are you talking about death? If it calls for it. The United States of America we live in, the generation you and I in, we may not have to. But that younger generation is coming, son. It's coming. They're fixing to be under all kind of stuff in their life. But I want you to listen to this tonight. When I'm talking about laying your life down, that's laying my own wants to the side to serve that next brethren. That's my obligation tonight. Look what he says tonight in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. That's how we know he loved us. And we ought, there it is. And we ought, that's that obligation tonight. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We're going to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know what? In the world that I used to live in, when I lived as a lost man, I had some friends. I had some acquaintances. But I'm going to tell you something about them acquaintances I used to run with. A lot of times I tell you that they ain't around no more. But I want you to know, when I used to live in that old world and we run together, they laid their life down for me and I laid my life down for them. That was just that brotherhood that we had back then, even as a lost man, nothing to do with Christ Jesus. But I want you to know, they ought to be more stronger in the house of God. If you see a brother that's weak and you're strong, you must come up beside him, lift him up, help him up, give him strength, lift him up from where he's at. Don't leave him laying down, but pick him up tonight. And how do you do that? You're going to have to lay some of your own desires to the side, and I am too. And that is hard, amen? That is hard to lay our own desires to the side. Let me give you another one tonight in 1 John 4:11. I love this. My obligation to serve you as my brethren tonight, number one, by living for Christ. Number two, by laying my life down for my brethren. But number three, by loving like Christ. All right, now I'm walking it, right? I'm walking this. My obligation is to walk it. Is walking it enough? No. Walking it is not enough. There's more to it than just walking this Christian life. So I walk it. And then it gets to that place, and once you've walked it for a period of time, you'll understand that obligation that's in your life. And there'll come a time in your life that you're going to sacrifice something for somebody else. You will. You'll sacrifice some of your own desire for somebody else. What does that mean, preacher? That means that you're coming to that place where you're glorifying God and you're laying your own wants to the side and you're picking up somebody else's to help them along the way. Let me give you this. When you're walking and you see somebody's weak and you love them when they're weak, that shows growth in your life. When you love people that don't act like you, that shows growth. When you love people that don't look like you, that shows growth. When you love people that don't do nothing you do, but they just need you because they're weak, that shows growth. Look with me tonight in 1 John chapter number 4 in verse number 11, what the Bible says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. We ought. We ought to love one another. What's the hardest thing to do in the world you live in? To love one another. Why? Because we're different. Most people don't love stuff that's different. You go out to eat somewhere and they eat and you get done and you say, did you like that? Well, it was different. That means they didn't like it. Well, it was different. You go to something. Hey, man, y'all went to a men's conference. Did you like it? Well, it was different. That means there's something there. But you know what tonight? When you get with an individual and they need you, it's going to be different. If you're strong and they're weak, it's different. But guess what tonight? Opposites attract. It's just like Jesus Christ. We was totally opposite than Jesus. But what does he do? He draws. He loves. He draws. He draws. And that same draw that Jesus Christ, how he drawed you and I, he'll put that same draw in you to another individual to help them along their way. Let me give you this tonight. I'm going to go on with this obligation to serve the brethren. Number one is because it says in the text that we ought to bear the infirmities. And I want to go here. The only way for us to be strong and bear our infirmities or others' infirmities is by living for Christ, laying our life down for Christ, and loving like Jesus. In this verse number one, it says to bear the infirmities. I want to give you this. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means to pick up another's load. To pick up another's load. You say, you don't know the load I'm toting. But if you're strong, you'll be able to pick up a little bit. To pick up another's load. He said to bear the infirmities of those that are weak, that are among you. To come up underneath, that means to come up underneath them and to help tote the load. But I love what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, if you pick another man's load up, always remember, it's going to cost you. Don't never put it on another man. If you see somebody in need and you come up underneath them and you're going to help them, don't call another brother and say, hey, by the way, hey, I'm going to help this guy, but what about you help me so I don't carry the load? No. If God's put it on you, don't put it on somebody else. If God's laid it on your heart, don't put it on somebody else to help you do what God's called you to do. And when you come up underneath, see, it says, ye that are strong, help the one that is weak. You come up underneath that brother, and you pick that brother up, and you help him. And I'm going to just share this right here. This is just a little side note that ain't in the notes. You know what I'm talking about? If you come up underneath the brother and help a brother, it ain't for you to tell the other brother you helped the brother. If he got weak, and you're strong, and you're going to help him, don't toot your horn that you helped him up. What I do, preacher? Why don't I? Because it's just your obligation. When you got saved, that's what you signed up for. That's the cost that we should have counted before we got saved. We come along one side or another, and we help one another. And that cost that's going to cost, what is it going to cost me? It's going to cost you your time, number one. If you're going to pour into somebody, it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you time to pour into that one that's weak. It's going to cost you late hours at night to pour into that one that's weak. It's going to cost you to get up and go when you don't want to get up and go to help that one that's weak. But I promise you this tonight, if you help that brother that's weak and you fulfill that obligation that God's called you to, man, it'll do something in your life. It'll energize you like you've never seen. Now here's the thing. How are we going to glorify God together? My obligation to help my brother. How am I going to keep him getting weak? Okay, my obligation is to serve this brother. Okay, I'm serving him, I'm helping him. How am I going to keep him getting weak? Paul said, hey, you got an opportunity not only to serve the brother, but you got an opportunity to search the Bible. How am I going to not get weak? How's it not going to drain me? You have to search the Bible and stay in it. When that brother ain't able to read the Bible, he ain't able to stay in the Bible, you're going to have to. It's your opportunity right then to search them scriptures, search that Bible and stay in it. That's the second point tonight. Let me show you this. Not only do we have an obligation to serve the brethren, but we have an opportunity to search the Bible. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4 of the text. Here's your opportunity to search the Bible. If you're going to help that brother, you're going to have to give him scripture. You say, yeah, but the Bible says if he's hungry, I need to feed him. Yeah, but also in that same text, when he fed him, he didn't leave him. He fed him physically, but he fed him spiritually. So you're going to have to feed him scripture. So that's going to give you the opportunity to get into the Word of God. And that's how we glorify God. We're helping somebody. We're reading the Word. The Word's helping us. We're putting it on other people. Look at this tonight in verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, this was written for us aforetime, were written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The opportunity to search the Bible, I want to give you this. There's four things that when you read the Word of God, it'll do in your life. If any of these four is missing, I challenge you and I encourage you tonight to read your Bible, and these four will come alive in your life. It will. Number one tonight, the Bible, it says here, were written for our learning. If you need to know more, you're only going to get it through the Bible. It is for our learning. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. The only way tonight that we're going to learn and we're going to grow, it's by the sincere Word of God tonight. We see that there is a learning for our learning. That we, through patience, tonight, if you're going to help and you're going to glorify God as a church, and I'm going to glorify Him as a church, tonight, number one, it's going to be from our learning of the Scriptures and from our patience that is in the Scripture. Look what he says. It was written for a foretime, for learning, that we, through patience tonight, that we have patience when we read this book tonight. That tells me that people are going to be weak among us, and we got to have patience, and we got to learn how to deal with them, and we got to learn how to glorify God even in the weakness. And I love this tonight. He said it's for our learning, it's for our patience, but it's also for our comfort tonight when we read the Scriptures. How am I going to help a weak brother if I ain't read the Scriptures? I can't teach him if I ain't read it. He said this is written for a foretime. I can't give him learning if I've not read it. I can't give him comfort if I've not read it. I can't give him peace if I've not read it. I can't give him no hope if I've not read it. You know, tonight, your testimony, my testimony, it's good. But it'll never do for you what the Bible will do for you. It won't. So tonight, when I get in there, I see my opportunity tonight is this, for our learning, for our patience, for our comfort tonight. And I want to show you this tonight. You say the Bible, will it really do this that it needs to do? If we have that comfort, that we may be encouraged the next man. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight, if you will, in verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I want to read this tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. In verse number 16, the opportunity to search the Bible when we glorify God together, we lift up that other brethren. One is for learning. Two is for patience. Three is for comfort. And here it is. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When we glorify God and we read this Bible aloud, you know what it does in this place? The breath of God is on us. He said this Bible was inspired by God, inspiration by God. And he breathed. When you open that word and you breathe that word on somebody, you're literally breathing the breath of God on that person. Have you ever thought about that? Man, have you ever been around somebody and they start talking Bible and just, whoo, glory, just get all up on you? Yeah. You don't do that with an old dirty joke. It don't get all on you with an old dirty joke or old filthy talk. It does that with the word. Let me give you this tonight. It's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Unto all good works. The last thing tonight in this we see is, for whatsoever things were written aforetime in verse number 4, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. When we come in here, no matter what you went through in a week, and you see people here and you know they've been through things, it gives us what? It gives us hope. We lean on one another because one another leans on Christ Jesus, and we get hope tonight. For the man that has got something going on in his life, or the woman that's got something going on in his life, whatever it may be, and you say, I don't know if God's going to answer. When you hear another brother or sister testify of what God's done in their life, how he brought them through, and you understand that the Bible says that God's no respecter of persons, it gives you what? It gives you hope. Without Jesus Christ, it's hopeless. With Jesus, it's hope. He says tonight that we might have hope. I'll just read this to you. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 119, 114, the Bible says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. That's my hope. My hope is in this word tonight. I understand tonight sermons can only come from the word of God. All sermons are in the Bible. And I understand this, salvation comes from the word of God. There's so much in this book tonight. My last thing, and I'm going to close out here, glorifying God together. Number one, you have an obligation to glorify God when you come in here. That's our obligation. If we take this book out, we take the Bible out of this church will never stand. You don't believe me? Take the Bible out of school, see what's happening. I'm serious. Bible's out of school, schools are a mess. It is. You take this book out of school, school's a mess. You take this book out of government, government's a mess. Amen. You take this book out of your home is a mess. You take this book out of your life is a mess. You wonder why so many professed children of God. I'm talking about that profess to be saved are living a life full of mess. It's because this book ain't being put in. This is the living word. It ain't nothing more but a living word. If you read this book, you digest this book, you're going to be able to fulfill that obligation to walk and help the other man. You're going to be able to do that, and you're going to have an opportunity in your life because you're going to see it in the book, and you do that. The third point tonight is this: because we're overcomers by the blood of Jesus Christ. This living word tonight, this book is what does it tonight. When you open that word, you read that word, and you digest it tonight, it'll do something in your life. I can't explain it enough tonight. You go a day without missing your Bible, you should be able to know it. You go a day without reading the Word. I'm not talking about a devotional. I'm talking about reading the Word. You ought to know it. If you go a week, you're in trouble. Whoa, glory, you're in trouble. Hello, you're in trouble. If you went 6 months, it's deadly. You're flirting with disaster. Marriages that ain't read their Bibles together in 6 months, they're on the brink of divorce. Listen to me. You say, no, it ain't, preacher. I promise you. If that Bible's not being put into that home is fixing to be tore, slap apart. It's that Word of God tonight that changes everything in our life. It's the Word. It's the Word tonight that changes everything. I want to show you tonight how that overcome, what it'll do. Let me show you this tonight. Verse number 5. Now the God of patience, where are we going to get patience from? He ain't the God that knows patience. Now the God of patience. Man, I ain't got no patience. You ain't going to have none. You know why we ain't got patience? That's why we got McDonald's everywhere and Burger King. We want it fast and we want it right then. I've heard this said so many times. We're a microwave generation that serves a crockpot God. You know how long it takes in a crockpot? I can smell it, but Mama said, ain't done, got 4 more hours. Turn it up, it's wide open. Can I not eat that way? You'll get sick, it takes time. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that He is the patience that we need. Tonight, we're glorifying God together. And I don't know who it is for tonight, but you've been messing with somebody that's weak. I've been messing with people that's weak. You have too. And you say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know how much more I can take of this. It's your obligation to keep being a servant. God's given you the opportunity to pour that scripture into that weak individual that they may be overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can just imagine Brother Tim Markham. Brother Tim was my friend in the faith. And I can just imagine all the times I went to his home. And I said, Brother Tim, you home? Can I come sit with you? Yeah, come sit down with him. And I would whine and cry and bellyache. And I can just imagine how many times he thought, I'm getting so tired of this. But he never did. He just put a grin on his face. And he just talked to me. Showed me patience. Now, the God of patience and consolation, if you want to be consoled, it only comes through God, will grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. When we glorify God, we got to receive one another. We got to help one another. We got to help one another. Here's the thing. Verse number 6, look what he says. Verse number 5, he says to be like-minded. Your obligation is right here. In your mind. Your opportunity to serve is in your mind. It's in your mind if you're going to do what God's called you to do. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another. There's the mind he's talked about one time. That you may with one mind. Paul almost was thinking here that, hey, it's a mind thing. You've been saved, but you got to get your mind out. I got to get my mind out of the way. My mind's telling me one thing, but I really need to be doing this right here. My mind's telling me, is it really important to do that? And Paul says, you got to be like-minded as Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Tonight, as we come to this place, each and every time we come in to do one thing, and that's to glorify God. And we glorify God by helping the weak. We do. I know we do it through worship. I understand. But when we help that weak individual, that's glorifying God. He come to seek and save that which was lost. That's who he's come to save. And every one of us in this place that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a time in our life that we was lost. We was weak. And we needed a stronger person to help us. And who is that stronger person? Jesus. Jesus. He became weak. He became sin. He became this, that we may have a relationship with him. So tonight, when we come in this place, you know when you come in, you see somebody that's weak. You see they're having a hard day. You see they had a hard time. You know what's going on. And it's a lot easier if I know you got something going on. Can I get amen right here? To just dodge on around the other side. It won't cost me nothing. It won't cost me nothing if I act like I don't know about it and go around the other way. It won't cost me nothing. But he said we ought to bear the infirmities of one another. And that's to come up underneath and pick up and help that load. Tonight, when you help somebody, you are glorifying God. But when you help somebody, it's going to take out of your time. It's going to take out of your money. It will. It's going to take. It's going to take. And tonight, if you're not careful when you're helping somebody, if you don't stay in this word, it'll drain you. You must make sure when you're helping that individual that you're giving them the word of God while you're helping them. Let us pray. Father, I love you tonight. And I thank you for the very, very many blessings of life. Lord, I thank you tonight that we come to this place and we can glorify you. Lord God, we do that because we have an obligation, and that is to serve one another. Lord, not for any credit, not any pat on the back. We just do it because that's our obligation. That's what we signed up for. And Lord, you've put opportunities many a times in the Word of God to show us how to serve our fellow man. And Lord God, tonight, the greatest servant that we've ever seen in the Word of God is Jesus Christ. How he came to minister, how he came to serve and not to be served. And Lord, tonight, I believe that as when we become overcomers tonight and we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our greatest opportunity is to serve our fellow man. Lord, whoever may be toting a heavy load tonight, a heavy burden tonight, I ask that you just allow somebody, whoever it may be tonight, put that burden on somebody's heart, put it on my heart, to come up beside somebody and just help them tote their load. Lord, tonight, I pray tonight in Jesus' name that you believe in this church. You bless us as a congregation. I pray that lost folk, when they come in, they be born again. I pray they get uncomfortable and can't sit amongst the word tonight. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight to show us what we ought to do. And whatever that is, that we do it with the ability that you've called us to do it. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. Tonight, as we